Good morning. Please turn in your Bibles to the book of Proverbs. That's page 510 in the brown Bibles in the slot in front of the pew in front of the front of the slot in pew. Man, it's been such a long time. The slot in the pew in front of you if you want to follow along. Page 510. This morning I'm launching a new series of teachings from the book of Proverbs. And Proverbs is one of my favorite books of the Bible. I say that every time I launch a series of teachings from a book in the Bible, probably just because you get into a book of the Bible and you start reading it and studying it, and it becomes your favorite. But I really do love Proverbs, and I love the way Proverbs works, and I think we're going to have a lot of fun and learn a lot of interesting, helpful, good things in this series. If you remember back to the Bible series that we did in the fall, we talked about how the Bible is not a single book, it's a library of books. And those different books in the Bible, they fall into different categories or different genres or different types of literature. And when we read the Old Testament, where we find the book of Proverbs, we see different classes or categories or genres of scripture, genres of literature. You find narrative or stories like in Genesis or 1 and 2 Samuel. You find law codes in Leviticus. There are prophetic oracles in Isaiah and Hosea and Amos. And then there is a special category of literature in the Old Testament known as wisdom literature. And you'll never guess what the primary subject of wisdom literature is. It's wisdom. And what wisdom literature does is it contains a lot of different sayings, reflections, teachings, aphorisms, maxims, proverbs that reflect on the nature of life in God's world, that give instruction on how to live effective lives in God's world. Proverbs is one of those wisdom literature, pieces of wisdom literature we find in the Old Testament. Also, Job and Ecclesiastes would fit into that category. Also, some of the Psalms would be classified as wisdom literature. This series, we're going to focus on wisdom as it's taught in Proverbs. And in the first six verses of Proverbs chapter 1, there's a prologue that gets us ready for what we're about to read in Proverbs. It tells us why Proverbs, what we can expect from Proverbs, what Proverbs does, and even begins to show us how Proverbs works. So let's read these first six verses from Proverbs chapter 1 as an introduction to this series. This will guide our thoughts this morning. Beginning in verse 1, the Proverbs of Solomon, son of David, king of Israel. Quick note, not all the Proverbs are from Solomon, but many of them are. He gets credit for most of them. Start this way. It's from Solomon, son of David, king of Israel. For, and this is what they're for gaining wisdom and instruction, for understanding words of insight, for receiving instruction in prudent behavior, doing what is right and just and fair, for giving prudence to those who are simple. It's not a bad word in Proverbs, simple, it's just a description. Knowledge and discretion to the young. Let the wise learn and add to their learning. Let the discerning get guidance for understanding proverbs and parables, the sayings and the riddles of the wise. The purpose of Proverbs, like all wisdom literature, is to teach us wisdom. Dwelling in the Proverbs is supposed to make us wise people. Proverbs teaches a kind of wisdom that helps us successfully navigate life. And out of these first six verses, there are a cluster of words that burst out from this big idea of wisdom. We'll put these up on the screen. We won't define all of these today. Some of them, I think, are self-explanatory, but we will come back to them some in this series. But what do we mean by wisdom? What does it mean to acquire or gain wisdom? Well, it means adding knowledge and discipline and understanding, prudence, discernment, discretion, insight. All of those are subsets or descriptors of what it means to be a wise person. And the reason we need wisdom, the reason wisdom is essential for navigating God's world, is life is complicated. It is not simple. Life is difficult. It is fraught with adversity. Seems to be trouble lurking around every corner. God's world is populated with difficult people, many of whom are duplicitous and looking to do no good. We've got clowns to the left, jokers to the right. And if we don't stick to the middle of the way of wisdom, if we don't listen to the words of wisdom and we listen to the clowns and the jokers instead, they will lead us astray and we will ruin our lives. There is, as you read through Proverbs, there is an urgency behind this advice. Because Proverbs says, to the young, I'm looking at you, to the simple, to the naive, to the gullible, you better get wisdom. You better wise up. You better listen to what Proverbs has to say so that you can become wise as quickly as possible. Because without wisdom in this world, life will chew you up and spit you out. So what I want to do this morning for a few minutes as a way of introducing this series, and also as a way of introducing you into the world of Proverbs and inviting you to read Proverbs along with me as we go through this series, 31 chapters in Proverbs. You can read one chapter a day, cover the whole book in a month. We'll be in this series for a couple of months, so you can read through Proverbs at least twice. What I want to do to introduce you to this world of Proverbs is reflect with you on the nature of wisdom itself, how wisdom works, not only in Proverbs, but in the Bible as a whole, because wisdom is a really important category in a lot of different bits and pieces of Scripture. So what do we mean by wisdom? What is Proverbs promising us when it says, yes, yes, read Proverbs and you will grow in wisdom? What is wisdom? Well, first of all, wisdom is practical. Wisdom is practical. Proverbs is one of the most, maybe the most practical book in all the Bible. As you're reading through Proverbs this week, what you're going to see is it talks about things like how to choose a spouse, how to raise kids, how to get ahead in business, how to manage your money, how to acquire and keep wealth, how to avoid poverty. It warns us about the destructive nature of careless words. It warns us about how much trouble we can get in if we're not humble, if we're not teachable in all different types of situations. It's very practical instruction because there is no theory of wisdom. Wisdom is not a theory. It's a practice, and there's only the practice of wisdom. You don't demonstrate your wisdom by pointing to a degree hanging on the wall. You demonstrate wisdom through your actions. The proof is in the fruit of your life. In one of his teachings, Jesus says it this way in Matthew chapter 11, verse 19. This is when people are questioning Jesus' way of life. And he responds, it's a longer response, but in the end he says this, "But wisdom is proved right by her deeds." How do you recognize wisdom? You recognize wisdom in action. Wisdom is proved right by her actions. You do not have to tell us how smart you are. You do not have to keep pointing out how brilliant you are. You do not have to keep calling attention to your own wisdom. We will see it in the quality of your life and in the quality of your decisions. Because every day, we have the opportunity to demonstrate wisdom. Right now, we live in a technological world that has given us access to more information than we know what to do with. We can't possibly use it all, and yet it's all there within just a few clicks. Just about any fact known, you can have access to through Google. Just a few words and a few clicks, and now you know it. Social media has given us a platform from which we all, every single one of us, can share our thoughts and our opinions. Not only that, but it exposes all of us to an unending stream of ideas and theories and stories and cat videos. And what are you supposed to do with all of it? We have all of this information, we have all of this content available to us, and yet it does not guarantee that we can successfully navigate our way through life. It does not guarantee that we can rise up and meet adversity in life. There's no guarantee that information leads to wisdom. One writer put it this way: right now we are drowning in information and we are starving for wisdom. Because being intelligent, being informed, being powerful, being strong, it's not the same thing as being wise. Listen to this proverb from Proverbs chapter 30. Four things on earth are small, yet they are extremely wise. Ants are creatures of little strength, yet they store up their food in the summer. Badgers are creatures of little power, yet they make their home in the crags. Locusts have no king. This guy clearly hasn't read Revelation. Locusts have no king, yet they advance together in ranks. A lizard can be caught with the hand, yet it is found in kings' palaces. The sage says, pay attention to these four creatures. They're not known for their strength, their power, their intelligence. They don't have a lot of education, and yet they're wise. Why? Because they have figured out not only how to survive, but to thrive in God's world. They use what they've been given, they pay attention to their environment, and they adapt, and now they survive and they thrive. They're wise, and it has nothing to do with intelligence, nothing to do with strength or power. It's a sign of wisdom, effectively managing, even mastering life. That's a basic definition of wisdom. Daniel Goleman has written, researched extensively about the difference between IQ and EQ. IQ, intelligence quotient. EQ is what Goleman calls emotional intelligence. And in his research, what he's found is that IQ, a high IQ, is absolutely no kind of predictor for one's ability to manage life or to navigate the challenges of life well. A high IQ, a high intelligence quotient, is a poor predictor of how well a person can keep a job or stay married or avoid addiction. Intelligence does not equal success in life. Instead, Goleman says, it seems that the people who do well in life are those who have emotional intelligence, EQ. And he defines emotional intelligence as self-discipline, self-motivation, the ability to persevere in the face of adversity, the ability to manage our moods and our emotions, the ability to communicate with a bunch of different people in different ways and do it effectively, the ability to get along with people who aren't like us. And as we work our way through Proverbs and talk about different characters we encounter in Proverbs, what we'll see is what Goleman calls emotional intelligence. It's what Proverbs calls wisdom. It's what the Bible calls wisdom. It's not this new category. It's not something new that we've discovered. It's been around forever. We just call it different things. But in the end, what matters, Proverbs says, and Goleman affirms in his research, is what matters is not how smart you are. It's how well you're able to respond to what happens to you in life, how well you're able to navigate the trouble, and the challenges, and the difficulties you face in life. You can get straight A's and go to the college of your dreams and still flunk life. Because being smart is not the same thing as being wise. Wisdom is practical. And you see wisdom proved right by her deeds. Wisdom is also relational. It's not something we do in isolation. This is not self-help where we just improve our lives. In Proverbs 1 verse 3, it says, wisdom equips us to do what is right, just, and fair. What is right, what is just, what is fair. Righteousness, justice, and equity are three big important words throughout the scriptures. When the prophets want to describe the kind of society that God desires among his people, they use those words. It's a righteous, it's a just, it's an equitable society. It's the kind of world we all want to live in, where we're treated well and we're treated fairly. We're treated with justice and mercy and love. And Proverbs says wisdom is what allows us to establish that kind of society, to live in that kind of world. It's wisdom that allows us to be that kind of church, because without wisdom, we can't live in community with each other. We can't experience the common good together. That is a result of wisdom. And there are behaviors that Proverbs warns against. And the reason Proverbs warns against them is they destroy community. Jealousy, envy, selfishness, greed, the inability to regulate your anger, those destroy community. It is impossible to live in community with each other without having wisdom. Fools cannot live in peace with each other. That's why any interaction on social media is just a couple of comments away from becoming a dumpster fire. It can start off peaceful. It can start off thoughtful. And then one fool shows up and makes a comment, and another fool shows up and answers, and now you have fools arguing together, and everything blows up. And what happens on social media happens in our families, and happens in our Bible classes, and happens in our small groups, and happens on the pew you're sitting on. It takes wisdom to be able to get along with people who don't see the world like you see it, who don't have the same political convictions or the religious assumptions that you have. It takes wisdom to be able to get along with people who aren't like you. Wisdom is intensely relational. It's what holds a community together. Wisdom is also complex. Wisdom is complicated. I wish it were more simple than it is, but it actually takes a certain amount of wisdom to understand how wisdom works. It takes wisdom to know what to do with what you're going to read in Proverbs. There's circular logic in the prologue of Proverbs, because what it says is you need to study these Proverbs, study the book of Proverbs, so that you can understand what you're going to read in Proverbs. Studying Proverbs will give you the wisdom you need to understand what you're going to read in Proverbs. Here, read this book. Why? It'll make you wise. Why do I want to be wise? So that you can understand what you're going to read in this book. Huh? Yeah. That's the way it works. Proverbs is not designed to give us a bunch of ironclad commands or instructions to obey in every single situation, no matter what, because they're always true and they always work. Instead, what Proverbs is designed to do is to give us some things to think about and wrestle with and compare to each other, to learn to think critically, to develop the capacity to discern so that we can make wise decisions in unpredictable situations. It takes a lot of discernment to exercise wisdom. And sometimes the way you gain discernment and wisdom is by reading Proverbs. Let me give you an example. This next proverb, Proverbs 26:4, it says, do not answer a fool according to his folly, or you yourself will be just like him. That is a command from the Word of God, and that is good Bible. Do not answer a fool. Don't get engaged in an argument with a fool, or you're going to end up being a fool yourself. That is such good advice. That is such an important principle to follow. Think about how much less complicated and more enjoyable your life would be on Facebook if you just adhered to this one principle. Don't do it. Don't do it. Don't engage it. Just move on. Do not answer a fool according to his folly, or you will be just like him. Now let's say you're reading through Proverbs chapter 26, and you underline that one because that one's really good and really helpful. And then you read the next proverb, verse 5. Answer a fool according to his folly, or he will be wise in his own eyes. Make up your mind. I mean, who says the Bible doesn't contradict itself? It's right there in two verses. Which one is it? Do I answer a fool or not? You say, don't answer a fool, you'll become like a fool. No, you've got to answer a fool, or otherwise that fool's going to go on thinking he knows what he's talking about, and you've got to correct, and you've got to help him grow in wisdom. Well, which is it? Do you answer the fool or not? Well, wisdom says, it depends. It just depends on the situation. It depends on the kind of fool you're dealing with. If it's an everyday garden variety, Homer Simpson kind of fool, just leave him alone. But if it's the kind of fool that if you don't intervene and say something, he's going to burn down the house and blow up the world and destroy us all, then you better step in. It just depends. Some fools need to be ignored. Do not comment on that post. You and your inbox will regret it for the rest of your life. But other fools, their rhetoric, their toxic ideology, their actions that bring destruction, they must be confronted and taken down like Christmas lights in the middle of January. Talking to some of you. Never answer a fool. Answer a fool. Whoa, this is complicated. The only way to know what to do and when to do it is with wisdom. Precisely. Because wisdom isn't just knowing what. It's not just knowing how, not even just knowing why. All of those are important and they're a part of wisdom, but wisdom is also knowing when. Timing matters with wisdom. Take a look at this proverb. Proverb 15, verse 23. In the NIV, it says, a person finds joy in giving an apt reply, and how good is a timely word. I like the way the NLT says it, paraphrases it a bit. It says, everyone enjoys a fitting reply. It is wonderful to say the right thing at the right time. Isn't that true? When you have just the right thing to say at the right time in the moment, not 2 hours after the conversation when you think of it and you're like, should I text them even though it's too late? Or to say the right thing at the right time, that is joyful and wonderful, and that is wisdom in action, because true wisdom knows when. You got to know when to hold them. Know when to fold them. Know when to walk away. Know when to run. You never count your money when you're sitting at the table. Because there will be time enough for counting when? When the dealing's done, because you got to know when. Timing in life matters. Wisdom is concerned as much with timing as anything else. Knowing when is a demonstration of wisdom. Another proverb, Proverbs 27:14. Says, a loud and cheerful greeting early in the morning will be taken as a curse. That's good Bible too, isn't it? A loud and cheerful greeting early in the morning will be taken as a curse. Now, the thing you have to remember about all these proverbs, they're these little nuggets, these little one-sentence words of wisdom, but there's usually a story or a situation behind them. Something happened that made somebody go, you know what? I think I can boil this down into a bumper sticker. Never do this. And so the proverb is this result of a story. So you have to wonder, like, what situation emerged? What was happening that caused someone to say, look, a cheerful word in the morning, that's not always a good thing. That's not always a wise thing to do. You get up early in the morning and you're going for your morning walk and walk down the driveway and you see your neighbor through her kitchen window, she's making coffee. You run up to the window and bang on it. Good morning! Isn't it a beautiful day? The Lord is good. I'm going for a walk. I'm going to pray for you. Do you have any prayer requests? Because I just want to bless your life. You're just trying to be a neighbor, a good neighbor, and instead you get hit upside the head with a coffee mug. Why? Because you're a fool. You're not being wise. It's timing matters when applying wisdom. This is one of the teachings from maybe the most famous passage out of Ecclesiastes. There's a time. There's a time to laugh, and there's a time to cry. There's a time to mourn, and there's a time to dance. There's a time to scatter. There's a time to gather. There's a time to shout. There's a time to whisper. And there's a time to say hello to your neighbor, and there's a time to just keep on walking. And the secret to life is knowing what time it is and then acting accordingly. And this kind of wisdom does not come by memorizing Proverbs. It doesn't come from acquiring more information. It's why when you study the Bible, the purpose is not just to gain Bible knowledge. We study the Bible so that we can understand it and interpret it and then apply it to different situations in appropriate ways. Another proverb. Proverbs 26, verse 7. Like the useless legs of one who is lame is a proverb in the mouth of a fool. The fool knows a proverb. A fool may have memorized a bunch of proverbs, and yet a fool is still a fool, and therefore a proverb in the mouth of a fool is absolutely useless. That's why just because you can quote a lot of Bible doesn't mean you actually know the will of the Lord in a specific situation. It takes wisdom. You can memorize the whole book of Proverbs and still not be wise. Because wisdom isn't just knowing, wisdom is doing and doing at the right time. Wisdom is far more complex and far more nuanced than maybe we would want it to be. But it's actually this kind of wisdom that equips us and gets us ready for just about anything we encounter in the world. Because we're not having to look it up in an instruction manual. Instead, we're acting out of the wisdom we've acquired through long hours and much time spent pondering the mysteries of life. So wisdom is complex. Wisdom also has its limits. The way Proverbs describes the world is black and white, cause and effect. The reason certain things happen to you are the result of certain actions you took or didn't take. Proverbs would have you believe, for the most part, that good things happen to wise people and bad things happen to fools. And you can align your life with the principles you glean from Proverbs and live with confidence that you'll be fairly successful, usually, most of the time. But there are exceptions to everything we read in Proverbs. Look at this one. Proverbs 28, verse 19. It says, those who work their land will have abundant food, but those who chase fantasies will have their fill of poverty. Now, that has the ring of truth to it, and couldn't we agree that that seems right most of the time? If you work really hard, take care of your land, you're going to have food to eat. If you don't, if you live in a dream world, then you're going to experience great poverty and hardship in life. And that's true, usually, most of the time. But can't you think of exceptions? What about the hardworking farmer who loses his entire crop to a hailstorm or a drought? Or what about the lazy Cheeto-eating, video game-playing slob who buys one lottery ticket, wins, hits the big time, and is set for life? There are exceptions. And this is where books like Ecclesiastes and Job come into the conversation. Because Job and Ecclesiastes, when you read them alongside Proverbs, Job and Ecclesiastes remind us that life is not always black and white. Unforeseen tragedies, unforeseen difficulty, trouble, it cannot always be reduced to cause and effect. It cannot be easily explained. This happened to you and here's why. Sometimes good things happen to fools. And bad, bad, bad things happen to the wise. And following the teachings of Proverbs does not guarantee that our lives will be free of difficulty or trouble or failure or disappointment. Proverbs are not guarantees. They're guidelines that are true most of the time, usually. But there are always exceptions. Because there is a kind of trouble in life, there's a kind of difficulty, there's a kind of disaster that can overtake us in life that not even wisdom can explain or eliminate. Wisdom has its limits. There's something bigger and more powerful in the world than wisdom. And it's when we come to the limits of wisdom that we're ready to go back to the beginning of wisdom. Because wisdom does have a beginning. There's a source of wisdom. There's a starting point. If you think of wisdom as a trail you follow, there is a universal trailhead, a universal starting point. Want to get wisdom? Want to grow in insight and discernment? Start here. Wisdom has a beginning. And next week, that's what we'll talk about, the beginning of wisdom. Just keep reading in Proverbs chapter 1 if you want a preview. But for now, can we hear in the first six verses of Proverbs 1, can we hear that invitation? Can we hear the invitation from Proverbs that says, do you need some wisdom? Do you need wisdom so that you can get along with difficult people? Do you need wisdom so that you can better manage your money? Do you need wisdom so that you can overcome the negative moods and emotions that keep you in bed in the morning? Do you need some wisdom that can help you navigate challenges and difficulties? The invitation from Proverbs is this. Anybody who needs wisdom, anybody, come on. Walk this path. Walk this way and get wisdom. Not just for ourselves. Not just for self-help purposes, but so that we can work together and live together and help create a society in which it's not only good for us, it's good for all. Because wisdom creates a common good. And let's chase this common good together as we get some wisdom. Let's stand and sing.